the book of Titus, and we're going to go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, and we will pick up at verse number 2, but we'll read verse number 1, just to, as always, try to set the context. Titus 3, verse 1, put them in mind, and again, them being those that he had spoken of in chapter 2, the aged men, the aged women, the servants, how they're to be their masters. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Father, thank you for your word. And please teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us tonight. We pray, Father, in the blessed Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. So, Paul counsels Timothy to counsel those that he has responsibility and accountability over, to put them in mind that they are, again, servants, aged men, aged women, those who are professing Christ, who Timothy has accountability over them, to speak evil of no man. All right? The word evil is defined in the dictionary as injuriously and not kindly. Now listen. This does not mean that you do not call a spade, or truthfully shoot straight. Sometimes what some people call a kindness is really an unkindness. Brethren, if you take someone and you tell someone or give them an impression of something that is not true just to keep from hurting their feelings, that is an unkindness. Okay? Calling a spade, and laying the truth out. Now that's not a wrong thing. That is a good thing. Now listen, I'll say this. There are some things you need to ask yourself before you speak. But if someone asks you something, shoot straight. Shoot straight. Now there are certain sections of our country that probably do a better job of that than other sections. Phil laughed because, again, Jersey maybe has a little bit easier way of handling that kind of thing and shooting straight. Kind of comes across the plate about waist level right there, just right at this, right there, boop, there it is. And like, hey, I'll tell you this, in a way, that's a good, you know what, there's a good balance between that northern way and the southern way. That southern genteel way has a way of kind of, but the problem of it is, it's almost like you can't ever tell the truth about something. Well, now, you know, well, that's, again, good old bless their heart. No. Honestly, hey, where I come from, it's used in two ways. It's used in two ways, really. It's used in two ways when you mean something from your heart, it touches you, and you're like, bless your heart. And also, it's when you're like, man, I can't say what I really want to say right now because, I'm not asked, but I'm kind of standing here. There's going to be awkward silence. Well, bless your heart. Seriously, that just kind of, you know, it's one of those deals to where you're kind of like, boy, what do you say? You're not asked to say anything. Because if you're asked to say something, you tell the truth. But you're just kind of, boy, that's often left field. That thing's out yonder. Awkward silence. Well, bless your heart. So when you kind of know about that, you got it. But not every time does it mean that, all right? But there's a southern way of being kind of genteel about things. But you know what the problem is? But often not calling something what it is and saying what it is. Our northern brethren have come up, rather, of like, what? I don't know. It's just, you know, just kind of like, blah, there it is. Well, let me tell you something. There's a good place for that, too. But I'll say this to you. Again, I think there's a good balance between the two. But I'll say this. Sometimes in the southern way of things, you don't know where you stand with somebody. A lot of times in the northern way, you know where you're at. you definitely know where you are at. You definitely know. And a lot of times, I'll tell you this. And there's a good balance between the both of them. I'll tell you this. Malcolm X said this. He said one thing. I will say, though, at times, he said, now, it's funny, because concerning race, it was a little bit different thing. He said, one thing about it, he goes, up north, I found, he said, they'll call me the N word behind my back. He said, in the South, they'll just say it in my face. He said, at least in that way, I know where I am with that. Listen, brethren, what we need to be is, and I'm going to give you some guidance on this thing. Sometimes there's no sense saying something that doesn't need to be said. But if there's a need, you need to call it out. And if you're asked, you need to tell the truth. It is no mercy and it is no kindness to not tell the truth. There was an old lady, I believe her name was Anna Howard. She was up in her 90s, back in the early 70s. And I read an article, somebody interviewed her, and she said, look, she goes, I was raised up. She goes, look, I'm going to tell the truth. I mean, not just, you don't blurt something just to do it. She says, but look, even if it was on my mom and daddy, if it was the truth and I was asked about it, she goes, I'm going to tell it. And amen. It's no mercy and it's no kindness to hide, to pretend something isn't what it isn't. Now, there's a way to handle things. All right? You shouldn't speak evil of someone just to be speaking it. There should be a reason. There should be a necessity for it. And most times it should be because you're asked. All right? But listen, this does not mean, again, that you don't call a spade or truthfully speak straight. You must do those things. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verse 19. Proverbs 6, verse 19. One of the things that God hates, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 20. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. For I fear lest when I come I shall find you such as I would. I shall not find you such as I would. And that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envies, wrath, stripes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And so many of those listed there have to do with sins of the tongue. Whisperings, backbitings, baits, things that just controversies and things that a lot of times could be took care of if the tongue was controlled. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 31. I will say this. I have found, brethren, you shouldn't just say things just to say them. But if there's a need, if you're asked, if it's truth, I have found in life that I think you can say just across the board, call it like it is. Because you are going to have more problems come up by trying to duck and dodge and pretend something that isn't what it is. As long as you can say the truth without malice, call it what it is. You understand? As long as you can say it without malice, call it what it is. And to not do that just causes more trouble and just makes the inevitable harder to come by and makes it more trouble when it is finally reached. Abigail in the Bible, my goodness, she called it out, man, when she talked about Nabal. She didn't do it with malice. She did not do it with malice. She cared about him. She saved his life. She didn't do it with malice. But she wasn't a fool. She's like, look, he is what he is, and here's what it is. And she told the truth. And brethren, to do otherwise, you do more harm than you do good. Ephesians 4, look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. See, telling the truth is one thing. You can tell the truth, but listen, evil speaking, there tends to be something behind that. There's an attitude, all right? But telling the truth, there it is. But again, often it may be the truth, but is there a need to tell it? But if and when there is, and especially when asked, all right, tell it. Go to 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Man, that sins of the tongue. Look, 1 Peter 3. Just a couple more verses here. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Isn't that something? Man, y'all, there's all kind of sites and there's all kind of emails and websites and all kind of things today about how to have a long life, huh? How to have a good life. Boy, you ain't going to find that on any of them. You know, I mean, they'll tell you about avoid this, put this in your diet, don't put this in your diet, do this, don't do that. I mean, all kind of things. Just blap, all kind of things. How to live a long life, how to have a... Well, here's one. He that will love life and see good days, all right, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You want to have a more pleasant life? Learn to keep your mouth shut. Learn not to spout off with your mouth. That mouth will get you in trouble. Your mouth will get you in trouble. Your mouth will get you in trouble. I mean, listen, it's so much safer just to keep your mouth shut. People think you know something according to the Bible. People think you're wise, even if you're not. Really? The Bible says that in Proverbs. Keep your mouth, you know. A fool can be esteemed a wise man if he keeps his mouth shut. People think he knows something. But brethren, if you go and you run off at the mouth, just you're going to get yourself in a mess. All right? Take your Bible, go to 2 Peter 2. Verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Brethren, be careful about speaking about those that are in God-ordained governmental authority. They may even be bad men. Don't pretend that they're not what they are, but be careful about slanderous, slurring things that you say. That's out of line. Let me explain why. You may have a ruler in a position, and the individual may be wicked. Well, don't pretend that they're not. They are what they are, all right? But before you go around saying slanderous things about the individual, you better be careful. Because don't pretend that there's something or not. Don't lie about something. But be careful what you say about them, because God allowed them in the position. Listen, what you're doing is, even though you don't mean to do it, it's like you're making comments on something God has allowed. You are slanderously saying something about what God has allowed. The powers that be are ordained of God. There is nobody in any position on this planet, in any nation, country, or whatever, that God didn't allow them to be there for his purposes. God allowed it. Don't pretend that something's not what it is. Don't lie about things. But be careful what you say. Brethren, it bothers me that a lot of saints and preachers tend to be preachers tend to be some of the worst ones that will really say slanderous, uncalled for things about those in positions sometimes of authority. Don't do that. Be careful about what you sling out there as far as things said about people. Now, truthful things, okay, that's fine. But to go and just throw out things and say, be careful about that. That's a dangerous thing to do. Take your Bible, go to Jude 1, verse 8. In those positions of authority, be careful. Jude 1, verse 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Be careful, because you can say things at times that when you say things in a strong, authoritative manner, you're almost saying that you have the authority to say that. Now, saying something that's truthful is one thing. But brethren, when Michael the archangel disputed the devil about the body of Moses, you know, angels which are greater in power and might than we are, he didn't bring against him a railing accusation. In other words, he didn't say, you low down this and that, you this, you that, you low down. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. You better take that to heart. Brethren, concerning principalities and powers that are both seen and unseen, don't rail on. All right? You have no power against the devil but what you have in Jesus Christ and the armor of God. All right? So you should walk humbly. You should walk manfully with strength and ready for war in the power of God, but with humility. Because you have no power against the enemy but what you have of God and his armament and his word. You have none of your own. None. So when you go against, anytime you speak against principalities and powers, seen and unseen, don't rail. Don't rail. It's fine. You oppose the powers of darkness with the word of God. You stand against them with the word of God. But brethren, be careful about railing on and saying statements. I've heard sometimes people make statements concerning the devil and powers of darkness, and it's like, I tell you what, I don't know how you justify that kind of thing. You better watch your step there. Because Michael the archangel. In fact, brethren, I've heard some people make some pretty foolish statements concerning the devil and the powers of darkness, statements that were downright foolish. And people kind of think it's okay. No, it's not. It's not. Okay. This ain't a plaything. This ain't a playground kind of thing. You understand that? This is serious business. And you go again. You have nothing to contend with him with on your own. But through the armament of God, the power of God, the word of God, okay, yes indeed. And the devil will flee from you, according to the scriptures, in the power and might of God. But you don't bring railing accusation. Michael the archangel didn't. Michael the archangel, when disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, didn't bring a railing accusation. In other words, he didn't say, you know what you are? I tell you what, boy, someday you're going to... He didn't do any of that. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. Well, and for principalities and powers that are seen, God's allowed them to be in that position. I didn't say pretend that everything's okay. I didn't say to pretend that everything's fine. But brethren, don't rail on. Don't bring railing accusation. Brethren, a lot of things get said about those in power that, okay, look here. A lot of stuff you don't even know is true. A lot of stuff you don't even know is true. And yet you jump on the bandwagon with it. Brethren, you don't do that. We tend to feel like that because that entity is removed from us and it's not a personal thing, that we think it's okay. No, it's not okay. God's allowed that person to be in that position. I didn't say you'd be supportive of them as far as thinking they're okay, getting behind. I didn't say that. But don't, in your opposition, in any opposition you have, don't bring railing accusation. Be careful. Be careful with your mouth. I love you people. I can preach and teach Bible to you. I love you. I can preach and teach Bible to you, and I love you for it. Because I'm going to tell you, I believe there's a lot of places right now, if you said this, it would go over like a lead balloon, bud. Because you just took people's fun away. You just took their fun away. You just took their fun away, and it would just, it'd be like, they don't like it. They wouldn't like it. But it's Bible. It's Bible. I appreciate you folks. All right. So, concerning your tongue, to speak evil of no man, you need to ask yourself some things. Number one, is it truthful? Before you say it, is it truthful? Next, ask, is it needful? See, something may be true, and then you know it's true, but then you need to ask, is it needful? Is there a need for this to be said? All right, and then ask, what is my motive for saying it? Make it past those three guard stations, if you will. Make it pass through those three blocks, those three roadblocks, those three guard stations. Make it past those. Now, if you're asked something, well, you need, okay, tell the truth. But listen, in what you say, especially what you voluntarily say, ask yourself, number one, do I know this is true? Number two, Is it needful? Does it really need to be said? Number three, what is my motive for saying it? What is my motive? What is my intention? What is my purpose? Okay. Look what it says. Titus 3, verse 2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers. Now, most time we think of a brawler as some two-fisted person ready to come to fisticuffs in a heartbeat. But you know what? Really, that's not what brawling is. If you look up brawl in the dictionary, it can lead to that. Brawling can lead to that species of brawling. But brawling across the board means to quarrel noisily and indecently. Ooh. Ouch. Oh. See, unless you know what words mean, sometimes I'll think, I don't brawl. Man, we don't pull out the punching bags at home or with the boxing gloves. We don't do that. We don't brawl. We ain't done that. Well, that's just another species of it. To brawl, what it really means is to quarrel noisily and indecently. Now listen, this morning we spoke about getting leaven out. I want to ask you something. Are you guilty of this? Do you quarrel noisily and indecently? If you do, sometimes, brother, but it's because of her. It's because of him. That ain't gonna work. That's not it. Do you quarrel noisily? Listen, you're going to have disagreements. Let me ask you something. From your pastor who loves you, let me ask you something. Could there be a possibility that there needs to be some growing up? I've met people in their 70s that were not grown up. Have not you? Have you not met people in their 70s who were still children? Well, listen, you and I are supposed to take and learn. You're never going to see things always eye to eye. There's going to be disagreements that come up. You've got to learn, though, to handle yourself like an in-control adult. You understand me? I love you. I love you. I want to help you. Help me. Help us all. You've got to learn to behave yourself like an in-control adult. Are you guilty of brawling, of quarreling noisily and indecently? In your marriage, in your home, at work, at church. Listen, face the truth about it. Do you quarrel loudly and with accusation? Do you quarrel loudly and with accusation? It is time to stop such nonsense. You will rattle and unnerve your children. You will affect your children. You will affect their stability and their mental, emotional, and possibly even physical development. Because a child cannot thrive in that kind of atmosphere. You people, listen to me. Listen to me good. A child has got to have a peaceful home because it needs security. A child needs security. It needs to feel that the two people that they care for the most, their mother and their father, that they feel a security there. And when they sense something getting heated, and when they sense invective and things thrown out, that unnerves them. That bothers them. They cannot prosper like that. It'll affect their thinking. It'll affect their emotions. I think it'll affect them physically. You can't do that. You must not do that. It is selfish. It is self-centered. I'm upset. I'm going to act like I want. I don't care about anything else. You can't do that. I had someone call me on the phone. Don't worry. Somebody in this church. I had someone call me on the phone and talking to me about a situation that they have, just some situations in the home. And I tell you, I told the individual. I unloaded, and I told them, I said, the individual told me, they said, I don't want my kids coming up, like I see a lot of kids in churches today, I don't want them coming up, you know, and leaving the faith, and leaving church, and going, and you know what, and I know the situation, and I unloaded, and I said, well, I'm going to tell you what then, your child needs to feel secure, and if you are arguing loudly, if you're arguing back and forth, I said, you're going to take, and you know what, that youngin' is not going to feel secure, if it's going on, I know it was, I said, knock it off. You got to stop that stuff. They can't have that. And the individual knows it because they broke down weeping over the phone. Just weeping. And there's time, there's room to catch it. But folks, listen to me. Listen to me. If we profess the name of Jesus Christ, we are supposed to be adult, mature believers that allow the Lord to grow us. Now listen, are you guilty of brawling? Christians, believers can be guilty of it because Paul told Titus to warn believers, Christians, aged men, aged women, and servants, don't be brawlers. And it's to quarrel noisily and indecently. Does it happen? And stop it. Ask God to help you get a hold of yourself. Ask God to help you to handle things rightly. I love you. I love you. Listen, if this is a matter that is true in your life, ask God to help you with it. Because for those children to have a settled growth in every aspect of their life, there's got to be peace and settledness. You can't have that. You'll unnerve them. What does it say next? To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle. Gentle. I need your prayers as your pastor. I need your prayers. I know you pray for me. I know you do. And I thank you. I want you to do more of it, please. Because, brethren, I want to be and do what is right. And I don't want to be and do what I've seen through the years. I don't want to be what I see so often that's out there. I want to be what God says I'm supposed to be. All right? And my Bible says that speaks of gentleness. Gentleness. Look, brethren, Christ preached with authority, and there was with, but there's a gentleness there. That's supposed to be there also, especially in dealing with individuals, there's supposed to be a gentleness. Brethren, a New Testament pastor is not a gunslinger. He's not even an Old Testament prophet. All right? And that goes not just for, it goes for all of us. Look, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle. Take it for what you want. But we are going to get to heaven and find out that a lot of independent Bible-believing Baptist attitudes have messed folks up and did not prepare people for eternity. And by the grace of God, I'm letting it happen by the grace of God here. But we're going to find that that's so. Because you know why? Brethren, the saints can't even give another holy kiss now. They can't. The saints can't even give each other a holy kiss like Paul said to do because you know what? Too many pastors are like, make fun of that thing or try to make insinuations. Can't do it. Saints can't wash each other's feet. They're afraid now that'll come be looked, thing be looked. And they can't even be gentle because you know what? You're supposed to be hard. Our Savior preached with authority, but he had a gentleness to him that was attractive to people in the right way. That's almost looked at as anathema today. It's Bible. Gentle. Take your Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 1. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. He was bold. But he was meek and gentle. Meekness and gentleness. Brethren, the kind of attitude that today has a harsh kind of, where'd you get that from? You get it from God. That's man. That's man. It's not Bible. The gentleness of Christ. The meekness, the humility. Listen, the word gentle in the dictionary, words mean things. It means mild, not rough, harsh, or severe. Being truthful is one thing. Being truthful is one thing. But not having to be harsh or just, you know, biting somebody's head off. Peaceable. Our Lord was a gentleman. He's a gentleman in his dealings with us. We were looking this afternoon at the 5 o'clock at Luke 12. We're going to look at this next week, but I want to give you a little heads up. I'll give you a little precursor to next week. In the story the Lord Jesus was speaking of, there was a gentleman, a lord, and he came back from a wedding. He wasn't the bridegroom, and I think I can prove that to you next week. He was just someone visiting a wedding, all right? And he came back, and his servants were loyal. They were ready. But I want you to read your Bible in Luke 12. Look what that lord did when he came to his own house. He knocked at his own house. Whoa now. He knocked at his own house. Yeah, in other words, he didn't go in going, I bet they're sneaking around. Who knows what they're doing? Ah, I gotcha! He didn't do that. Do you know what he did? He even gave them a little chance to get something. So they got a little time. Isn't that something? What's he doing? He's being gentle. And he comes in and finds them ready, and he feeds them, but he knocks. Take your Bible. You know, Song of Solomon 5. Song of Solomon 5. I'll be, when he dealt with Adam, he didn't come stomping through the garden. Adam, where art thou? What have you done? Look at the way he deals. Song of Solomon 5, look at verse number 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. This husband is coming to visit his wife for a time of romance, but he knocks at her door. He doesn't barge in. He doesn't say, mine! Right? It's true. It is. He's a gentleman. Did you know one of the things that's missing today? Christian gentlemen. Oh, I know, sissy gentlemen. Maybe be careful. Some of them old gentlemen clean your clock. They were gentlemen. You read about them. You know what they were? They were gentlemen in the sense of they thought of others. That's all being a gentleman has to do with, is thinking of somebody else. Our Lord's a gentleman. Song of Solomon 5, that's his wife. The Bible says the wife hath not power of her body, but the husband hath not power of his body. But they, even though that's legally there, it's not demanded. He knocks. Fellas, a little bit of respect, help out in the marriage. A little respect, help out. A little respect. You know what's funny? It's funny how guys get married and want their wife to be a model and then can let themselves go and be any way they want to be. Did you know that? Did you know that happens in marriages all over the place? Guys want their wives to be knockout models, yet they can let themselves go and look any old kind of way or be any old kind of way. It's like, oh, so she ain't got eyes? Come on, just stop it. Don't either one of you expect anything unreasonable anyway. You married the person, love them for who they are. Love them for who they are and let God work in that kind of thing. That kind of stuff gets to be ridiculous. And you know what? Think of the other person. A gentleman. He didn't bust open that door there. Hey, wake up, gal. I'm here. Not. And evidently, he had been knocking a while. If you remember from our study on Song of Solomon, because brethren, your locks don't get filled with dew by just being outside a little bit. For your head to be filled with dew, you've been out there a little bit. He just waited, knocked. Revelation 3:20, the Lord talking to the church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's a perfect gentleman. He wants entrance. He's not going to force it. He's not going to demand it. Who wants that? Who wants that? Who wants that? He knocks, and he hoping for entrance. Okay, he behaves himself as a gentleman. And we need to do that. We need to learn that. Look here. You know what the word gentleman even means in the Bible, in the dictionary? A man of good breeding. Ah, see there, hoity-toity. Whoa. Ain't you got good breeding? Don't you come from good stock? Born again, huh? That's pretty good stock. You got good breeding, huh? That ought to mean something. Ought to show something. It also means politeness and civil manners. And all, it, what What being a gentleman has to do with is simply thinking of somebody else and not yourself. And I'm serious. You can sum it all up just about in that. But anyway, the servant of the Lord is not to strive. But, you know, he's to be gentle and all. Gentle. Our Lord was gentle. Oh, he was bold. He could bring the hammer down when needed. Son, he cleaned house on the temple when it was needed. But brethren, so often in his dealings, he knew when to be gentle, and he was gentle. And brethren, he only let that thing rise up like that when there was need for it. And brethren, you and I need to learn to be gentle. Let me tell you something. You know what? Can your children talk to you? Mom, Dad, can your children talk to you? I had somebody years ago, adult, married, children, was talking to me and said, their dad's pastor. I can't talk to my dad. I can't. I want to. I can't. Why? Because no talking takes place. It is lecture. It is a dominated lecture. And I can't talk. You know what? That individual probably wouldn't like it that their child can't talk to them. Well, whose fault is it? What do you mean you can't talk with me? Ain't talking to me. I'm talking right now. Can't talk. You don't get it. I got a clue. I got a clue. So you ladies, I see you nod your head. You know what I'm talking about, ladies. Got something to be with a wife and a husband in marriage. We talk. Listen, there's a spirit that should allow for conversation. Don't you dare. Don't you get no attitude. Well, great day, preacher. All right, I guess I'm just to stop it. Act like a man. Act like a grown up. Go to God and say, God, thank you. You have pointed out some things in my life I need. Help me, Lord. Help me. Brethren, I got to do that. There's things that God shows me in that book. I've sat in my chair studying and wept tears and called my wife in there and said, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was guilty of this thing here. And try to get that thing right. Come on. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Not here to break you back, trying to help you. But when these things are there, for husband or wife, ladies, can your children talk to you? Can talk to you. You know the problem with Nabal? Nobody can talk to him. Can they talk to you? Because there comes a time that it's not just, listen, I understand, a seven-year-old needs instruction. Do it. But there comes a time, there's some conversation needed. There's some talk needed. Can that be done? All right? And there needs to be gentleness there. They need to feel like they're not just going to get lectured or not just going to, it's just, tell you something. My Savior's that way. There's a firmness with him, but I've always been able to go to Jesus and have an audience with him and found him understanding. Oh, when I was sucking my thumb, I've heard him tell me, get up. But when I just need to talk, I find him always there, available to talk. I never approach him getting that he's just going to lecture me and not listen and let me pour my heart out to him. Amen. Look here. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. What does the word meekness mean? It means forbearance in the dictionary. Forbearance under injuries and provocations means humility. Take your Bible, go to Numbers 12. Brethren, so often, now listen, we cannot fall back on, I didn't have a good example. My daddy didn't. My mama didn't. Brethren, my daddy, my mama didn't. Brethren, my grandpa would come in the house, take a gallon jug of milk, and took one of my uncles, and just because he was drunk, didn't lie, busted it over his head. My grandma, my aunt said there was blood and milk all over the walls. Knocked him out. My dad's older brother had to come in the house. My grandpa pulled a knife on my grandma and my aunt And my dad's oldest brother had to come in and just knock him out. And it broke his heart. He cried about it. I mean, it was just a mess. Shoot, my grandpa would take God's name in vain and curse around me the few times I saw him. My dad didn't have no kind of example, but he got saved. And he let God develop his character and let God show him what to do was right. You can't fall back on those things. If you know the Lord, he's there. Let him guide him. Let him guide you. Let him teach you. Let him help you. No brawling. No quarreling. There'll be disagreements. No quarreling. No rowing. No yowing. Gentle. Understanding. Thinking of one another. And you young folks, ask God to help put that in your life. Because I'm going to tell you right now, like I said, I had a brother call me on the phone. I don't want to see that happen to my kids. I said, you don't? Okay. Then knock the mess off that you're doing, calling each other names, arguing one another in the point of accusation and getting loud, stomping. You forget it. Those kids' first chance, they're gone. Why? Because it's a rat's nest. It's a mess, man. Who wants to sit around something where your nerves are getting all shattered, all tore up like that? I said, those kids, I'll tell you what. You don't want that kind of thing to happen. I told the individual. I said, then knock that stuff off. Act in control. That you've got some control. Both man and wife. Husband and wife. And yeah, you've got disagreements. Talk about those things. Husband makes a call. There it is. For good or bad, he makes the decision. Abide by it as long as it don't against the word. But don't. You can't have it. You can't have it. Look here. Numbers 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. And if you think meekness means weakness, read about Moses. There wasn't no weakness there, but he was meek. He was meek. He did not have to go around tromping and stomping and asserting his authority where everybody, I'm in control here. He let God take care of that for him. He was meek. Go to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now the world does not that highly value that. The world the world highly values a loud mouth, know-it-all woman. The world says, yeah, there's what it is. You know what the world says when they see a woman with a meek and quiet spirit? Oh, you're just, men will just tromp all over you. You're a disgrace to womanhood. You're pathetic. Something inside them is jealous of that. Something inside them knows they're wrong and you're right. But what matters is not what men think. What is highly valued by God? What is highly valued by God is an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit in a woman. That's highly valued by God. The world doesn't value it, but God does. But listen, for all, men, meekness, meekness. Let me ask you something. Kind of summing it all up here, but the last thing here was meekness. Ask yourself, are you easily provoked? Are you quick to take offense? Do you walk around with a chip on your shoulder? You say, what do you mean? Well, a chip, knock it off. I dare you, knock it off. I was looking for trouble. The way the Irish used to do it, the Irish would do it this way over in Ireland. They'd have those county fairs or whatever, and some little guy or somebody that wanted to, he would drag his coat on the ground and say, who'll tread on my coattails? Who'll tread on my coattails? Wanting to start trouble. Because he felt like he was, the catch me out, bud. He thought he's a guy he can take on anybody. Who'll tread on my coat, huh? Because there's no trouble. Everybody's getting along, right? You got to start something, right? Who'll tread on my coattails? Or else he'd say, who wants to say the white of my eyes black? In other words, just looking for excuse. Well, listen. Are you like that? You say, preacher, no, I ain't like that. Well, listen, whoa. Okay, you may be not like that. But do you go around expecting trouble? Are you always primed for it? Do you have an attitude? In other words, look here. Do you walk into a place? That's a miserable way to be. Yeah. When somebody's lost, they do that. I've told you before, kind of because they go places they shouldn't go. I guess if you go down to some bar somewhere, you maybe need to be going. But I don't think for too much, you got to have, I don't think you got to set your back against the wall, as I've said before, over a Cracker Barrel. I don't think you probably got to go into Cracker Barrel and go, give me the seat against the wall. I'm watching everybody when they come in. That family with those five kids, you just don't know. I mean, look here. I mean, who knows? Who knows? But I'm saying to you, brother, do you go? I heard a preacher one time, at least he was honest. And you know what he said? He said, a lot of times I go into places, he goes, I'll get on the elevator and I'm watching people. And I'm like, okay, if he makes a move, I'm going to. He said, what a way to be. can you imagine? Do you get? And that's one thing, maybe being a public place. I understand being aware. But come on, brethren. Do you look at people as far as situations of the heart and spirit? Do you go around always like, oh my God, wonder what they're trying to find out. Wonder what they're trying to get at. Wonder what they mean. That's miserable. Meekness, brethren. Meekness. Meekness. Showing all meekness unto all men. Amen. Unto all men. Do you have an attitude? Do you have an attitude? It's fine. It's a good one. Look here. Titus 3 verse 2. What does Paul instruct Titus to instruct the brethren about? That they're to speak evil of no man. Be careful what you say about principalities and powers, seen and unseen. Be careful about railing accusation against leadership, against those who God has put in leadership positions. Be careful about railing accusation against principalities and powers of the unseen world. The Lord rebuke thee. Put on the armor of God. Be careful what you say. To be no brawlers. Noisily quarreling. It's not good, brother. It's not good. Oh, I can handle it pretty good. Others can't. Family can't. Children can't. That'll have an effect. Gentle. They don't like that word, but the Savior was. The Savior was. He would notch it up when he needed to, but he was gentle. Showing all meekness unto all men. Listen. If there's any way that any of this has spoke to your heart, then admit it to God and say, Lord, I need your help in this area. Help me. Brother, thank God for the Word of God. Brother, there's a lot of times there were ways that I thought I was okay about till I really looked at what the book said, found the meaning of the words, and not with any Greek, but just with English, and I found like, Lord, I am guilty of that, and I didn't even know it. And I tried to make the thing right, and I tried to work on it. Listen, if God brings things to our attention, it's because there's hope. But we have to take the action that He'd have us to take. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Father, please help us and guide us tonight. Father, I pray, Lord, give me understanding in any and every area of my life that I need help in. Father, help us all to examine ourselves in the light of these things that the Holy Spirit instructed Paul to talk to Titus about concerning those he was accountable for. Lord, help us to view ourselves in the light of these things. Help, Lord, with our words, dear God. Help us to make sure they're truthful. Help us make sure they're needful. And help us to make sure, Lord, of the reason why we're going to say what we're going to say. Father, help us to not be guilty of brawling. Lord, be gentle. Show all meekness in all men. Father, by thy Spirit, show us where these are areas, dear God, that need to be dealt with in our lives and help us so to do. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name.